This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with the end of the 9 o'clock hour we go. Here was Tim Kelly yesterday, Texans offensive coordinator, when he was asked about Bill O'Brien's influence on him.
I think it's kind of adapting to the personnel. I mean, my whole experience on the offensive side of the ball before the season was with Coach O'Brien. So everything that I learned in terms of philosophy and how to attack a defense or how to view a defense, you know, I learned from him, and I was fortunate to do so. So, you know, anything, any tricks or anything you saw the other day was, you know, something that I learned from him. And like I said, it's very fortunate for the opportunity to learn from him.
All right. So Tim Kelly saying nice things, not surprisingly, saying nice things about Bill O'Brien.
No. Remember last year after when all the one day per year when all the assistant coaches are available to the media, everybody was asked a question about Bill O'Brien, and all the coaches gave nice responses about Bill O'Brien. And I saw some people like get angry at that somehow, yeah, the guys who got hired by Bill O'Brien are probably going to say nice things about Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, we should point out that, just to refresh people's memories, that it took place about a month or a month and a half after Bill O'Brien had been fired by the organization.
And I think what it was, because I thought about that later, I was like, why would people be angry at the assistant coaches for saying nice things about the guy who hired them, got them their contracts there and everything? And I think it was just that I think a lot of people were just so fed up and done with Bill O'Brien that they didn't want any reminder of him or just didn't want to hear anything about it. So it was just it wasn't even a reaction to anything those coaches were saying. It was just that they didn't want to hear anything nice about Bill O'Brien, which is understandable. I get it. Yeah. I do think that there is something about Bill O'Brien who Ryan Fitzpatrick credits with teaching him a lot about the game. I think there's something about Bill O'Brien where he does know a lot about offensive football, but that's different than coaching and executing an offensive game plan. And, you know, in the same way that maybe your favorite college professor maybe your favorite economics professor might not be your best financial planner. Like, there's a difference between knowing things on a certain level and then actually executing them on the ground level. And the story that we heard multiple different times about the Texans these last couple of years was that Bill O'Brien was absorbed with the duties of being a head coach, as he should be, but that on Friday or so, late in the week, he'd come in and start tinkering with the offensive game plan in a way that sometimes Deshaun Watson, Tim Kelly, and Bill O'Brien weren't on the same page. To whatever degree that might be true, I would just say that it does happen. I mean, that was the story about what happened in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, that it's the duties of being a head coach, an NFL head coach, kind of just consume people, but they still want to keep their finger in the pudding when it comes to being the offensive mind and the offensive genius, but it can't always work that way. I mean, Sean Payton does a brilliant job of doing both things. Some other coaches do an excellent job in doing both things, but that's the rare skill. So I think that I think Tim Kelly probably did learn a lot of things from Bill O'Brien. I know that Deshaun Watson learned a lot from Bill O'Brien, and I think last year everything kind of clicked for him in terms of figuring out how to run the perfect play, figuring out how to get into the right pass protection, all that stuff. It just, it took a long time, and it didn't really click until last year.
Yeah, look, you mentioned it either earlier in this show or maybe yesterday about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He attributes Bill O'Brien with the renaissance that he's experienced over the last seven seasons in his career. He said he learned more about offensive football the 1 year he was with the Texans than any other year he had been in the NFL. Yeah. And he'd been in the NFL a decade up to that point with several different teams, several different coordinators and head coaches. And so, yeah, like Bill O'Brien's problem was he got too emotional about things. He would get attached to certain players. He, you know, the mood swings and everything else. And then obviously when he became general manager, he just had too much power. I'm not surprised to hear Tim Kelly saying nice things about Bill O'Brien. It did make me think, Seth. I'm like, okay, is Tim Kelly sort of the last man standing over at NRG Stadium when it comes to guys who would say nice things about Bill O'Brien? There's still a lot of people in the building that were in there when Bill O'Brien was in there.
You're saying he's like in Game of Thrones, he's still worshiping the old gods?
Right,
Or somewhere like, yeah, some new crazy cult has come in, but he's still the one sitting there away. He's got a little altar in a closet somewhere where he's still kneeling and praying to the statue.
Who would be praying with him to the statue of Bill O'Brien? I would say anybody who got a contract extension. If I'm Whitney Merciless, I'm finding whatever statue there is of Bill O'Brien and I'm putting flowers next to it and praying next to it and thanking it every single day.
You know who Whitney Merciless is?
Who?
Who? I don't want to say this because people
are
going to.
You started it.
No, because a whole bunch of people are going to read way too much into it. But in some ways, he's Anthony Fauci. He's been able to maintain the same position through multiple administrations. Like, who would have thought that the favored child of Bill O'Brien would also be the favored child of Nick Caserio and post-O'Brien Jack Easterby, who has done any and everything he can to try to distance himself from Bill O'Brien? No, that was all Bill. That was all, hey, it wasn't me. It were all Bill. Don't look over my way. Hey, you got to keep your eyes on that evil. Remember that Yankee? That Yankee from the North? That was all Bill. And yet, Whitney Merciless, a favored child of Bill O'Brien, has not yet been sacrificed at the altar.
Drafted by Kubiak also. Like, he's lived through...
That's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man. Like, yeah.
He's been through three administrations. He's been one of the favored guys. That's pretty damn impressive.
He's been...
Fauci stuck around in a role through multiple different political parties and presidencies and everything, where usually at some point, somewhere along the way, somebody's gonna bleep can you just for whatever reason. He managed to do that.
This is an amazing angle. You're right. Whitney Merciless has served. Whitney Merciless, who's never made a Pro Bowl, by the way, has had one double digit sack season in a decade of football playing edge rusher. He's had one double digit sack season. Whitney Merciless has survived three head coaches, two interim head coaches. How many GMs? Rick Smith, Brian Gain, Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, Nick. So four GMs and an interim GM. And he's gotten paid, what's Whitney made in his career? Probably $50 million, conservatively,
you in like 23 seconds.
So yeah. Whitney Merciless, having not made a Pro Bowl and with one double-digit sack season, has survived basically five head coaches and five GMs and made probably whatever number Seth is about to give us in career earnings. That's, I mean, honestly, that may not deserve a 30 for 30, but at least one of those 30 for 30 shorts that they'll crank out that's like 12 minutes long on YouTube, something like that. That's incredible when you put it that way.
He's made 60, including this season, $62 million.
That's incredible.
Just like Fauci.
Whitney Merciless is Anthony Fauci.
I'm joking, everybody. Just settle the hell down for once in your life.
I'm just going to tweet that out like standalone. Seth Payne just compared Whitney Merciless to Anthony Fauci, period. And then see where it goes from there. That's crazy.
It's nuts. It's crazy. I don't know. Go ahead.
I was gonna go to finish up your thought.
Have any thoughts in this head of mine.
All right. I was gonna get to the other Tim Kelly cut here on Jadeveon Clowney, who I'm guessing probably doesn't have nice things to say about Bill O'Brien, would be my guess. Here was Tim Kelly, Texans OC, on Jadeveon Clowney this Sunday.
Yes, he's he's as disruptive as ever. from the moment he got here. He was a guy you had to know where he was every single snap, or he has the ability to wreck every play. So, you know, that hasn't changed. It didn't change last year when he was at Tennessee. We didn't see him when he was out in Seattle, but getting ready for him this past two seasons brings back a lot of memories of him on the field, and you still see the playmaking ability that he has. He's still sudden. He's still strong. He's still explosive. So, you know, he's a guy we're going to have to take care of here if we're going to have a good game on Sunday.
Okay. Meanwhile, Jadeveon Clowney, who's made three Pro Bowls and was the first overall pick in the draft, has played for four different teams in four seasons now.
It is. I'll tell you, there's kind of a getting off the bus effect to that defensive line for the Browns,
yeah.
Where, you know, if you pulled up the old cliche, if you pulled up the high school bus, you want Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney being the first guys off the bus because they're just these supremely freakish physical specimens. Myles Garrett, a more accomplished player, like more of a conventional sack artist, obviously, than Jadeveon Clowney is. But when you put them... as bookends, one on the other side of the other, it's an imposing sight, and it's going to be a headache. It's going to be something to deal with. Now, I think Laremy Tunsil is up to it. I think Laremy Tunsil, who was kind of still getting his legs back last week, but did a good job in one-on-one pass rush, had some troubles at times sorting out stunts and games on the defensive line, but I think a lot of that is just coming down to just not having had a training camp. He's going to have his hands full with Myles Garrett, and there will be a lot of really good one-on-one matchups there. On the other side of the ball, Charlie Heck and or Marcus Cannon and maybe Jerron Christian, those are the guys you're going to want to watch. And almost a guy can maybe cement himself as the number one starter at right tackle. I think they'll keep rotating for a while, but I think maybe the guy that does the best versus Clowney and Tack McKinley plays a lot over there that might end up getting the nod as the starter next week.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. The text page is flooded with Whitney Merciless comparisons now. No way.
Oh, yeah, like who?
No way. Varys from Game of Thrones, who's like the ultimate survivor. Kelvin, Whitney Merciless. Okay, this is a longtime Houston sports fan saying this. Whitney Merciless is the Kelvin Cato of football.
No way. No, Cato, no.
Cato
no.
was an immediate bust after he signed that big deal.
Like, yeah, Cato, Whitney's been a good, productive football player without being like a stud superstar. He's been a good, productive football player for the most part. You know, he's had some down seasons, obviously.
He has, although he has, like, this last extension he got has been very Cato-ish. Like, he's given them no good football, really, since signing the last extension.
The last extension was, that was the good guy extension.
Yes.
That was, this is the kind of guy we want around, and we feel like he's going to be stable, and he sets a good example, all that.
Right, so we're going to pay him like a five-time Pro Bowler. Yeah. That's what we're going to do. All right, 713-572-4610. We'll take a look at the slate of games coming up this weekend. Games to circle on the NFL calendar, and some good news, I think. Even with the Texans being the biggest underdog this week, there is a lot of good news on this schedule. We'll explain next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the AFC South, this lines up nicely for the Texans. Look, they're big underdogs at Cleveland. It would be a major upset if they pulled that off. We'll have it for you at noon, kickoff on Sunday here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I get started at 9 a.m. on Texans Countdown. The schedule is favorable this weekend, though, for the Texans to stay atop, possibly stay atop the AFC South all by themselves. Because the other three AFC South teams are all in games where they are underdogs. The Rams travel to Indianapolis. They're 3.5-point favorites to beat the Colts. The Broncos, who looked really good in week one against the Giants, travel to Jacksonville as 6-point favorites to face the Jags. And then the Titans have to travel out to Seattle to face a Seahawks team that just beat up on the Colts last week. The Seahawks are 5.5-point favorites against the Titans. I'm feeling the Seahawks a little bit here. But let me ask you, Seth, a little bit. Let me ask you. I want to get your take on it. Chances are one of these three AFC South teams will pull off the upset here. If you had to pick, if you had a 100 spot in your pocket and you had to pick one of these, either the Colts, the Broncos, or the Titans on the money line this weekend, who would you take to win their game this weekend?
I would take the Titans, and I'm going to do the most annoying gambler dude thing possible.
Ooh, okay.
Which is, no, I hate it when they do this, and yet it somehow feels right to me. The Titans are 6-0 coming off of a loss of 10 or more points since the start of 2019.
Why do you hate that?
Now, I hate that because usually when people say that, it's like it spans. Usually they'll say it and it'll span like three different head coaches, two different quarterbacks, all of that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily make sense. Whereas Vrabel's been there since 2019. So there it makes some sense. And I do think that Vrabel is kind of a natural motivator and has a feel for his team. And I think after a really, really embarrassing loss in which Kyler Murray threw for 5 touchdowns, they just got completely throttled. I think they'll get things tightened up and get it together. So if it were to pull, I don't think any of these teams, frankly, are going to win, but I would give the Titans the best chance of doing it. The Colts versus Rams, here's the thing. Matt Stafford is just getting started, and versus a Bears defense, which is no slouch of a defense, he had a nearly perfect passer rating. He went 20 for 26, 320 yards, 3 touchdowns. Versus last week versus the Bears. And I think he and Sean McVay are just getting to know each other. I think that Colts defense is not quite what everybody was hoping it was going to be. So I think the Rams are only 3.5-point favorites because they're in Indianapolis. But I think the Rams put it on the Colts.
There was nothing fluky about those stats with Stafford. Like he was throwing ropes in that game.
Plus, let's remember it's Aaron Donald versus Carson Wentz.
Ooh, yeah.
Aaron Donald versus Carson Wentz. That's a scary proposition.
Indeed.
I almost feel bad for these smooth-brained Colts fans who just, frankly, I think they put more faith in Carson Wentz and they put more faith in what some pundits were saying about their defense than they ever should have. But they're about to get their comeuppance. I feel bad for you, Colts fans.
What did you call them?
I don't really. I'm just kind of.
No, of course you don't. People listen. They know you don't. What did you say? Smooth-brained Colts fans?
Yeah, actually, now that I'm not sure that's an appropriate thing to say, so let's move along.
Okay, gotcha.
I said it.
Broncos at Jags. What are the Broncos a team that's maybe better than we were giving them credit for coming into the season? They've got a really good roster. And then, quarterback play we'll see. Teddy Bridgewater was really good in week one.
I think at the very least, I think their defense is starting to look really like everything that everybody was hoping over the last couple of years is starting to click for real. And more specifically, Von Miller is looking like old Von Miller. Now, that's based on one game, but I'll say, look, it's Von Miller and the Broncos pass rush versus Trevor Lawrence. Still, we saw what happened to Trevor Lawrence in the face of a no-name pass rush by the Houston Texans.
Right.
I'm not insulting the Texans defense, but that's there. You know, those guys are not premier pass rushers the same way Von Miller is. So Trevor Lawrence still has yet to see what it's like getting a Von Miller screaming off the edge or any of those other guys on the Broncos defensive line. And this is also career veteran defensive coach. Let's call it this. A veteran career pro coach in Vic Fangio versus Urban Meyer, Buck rookie in the NFL. Does that sound familiar? David Culley, career NFL coach, for the most part, took it to Urban Meyer, made him look like he was completely out of his element and out of his league. This is Vic Fangio, who's been a hell of a coordinator for a long time in the NFL, versus Urban Meyer. I feel like Urban Meyer might have had a little bit more of an advantage 3 years ago. If he'd come into the NFL and he had some grounding in the RPO game, where before the NFL teams really started to see it all the time, that he might have had some advantage there. But now NFL defenses have seen it forever. All the guys in the NFL that are playing defense played against it in college, and it's just not as big a deal. So, yeah, I think this is going to be an ugly one. I think Urban Meyer goes down hard again.
That's an interesting angle. You know, Vic Fangio, who's on the hot seat in Denver probably, is my guess.
Yeah.
But is, like you said, he's your former coach. You know, he's a grizzled veteran. So you get Culley week one, you get Fangio week two. Now, I'm just looking at what Urban Meyer's schedule looks like just to find out what week it is that he's going to spontaneously combust on the sidelines. He's got Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona in week three. Vance Joseph, though, has been around a while. I think, is Vance Joseph still their DC in Arizona? I think he is, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine why he wouldn't be.
Because
that was one of the... No, he definitely is. That's one of the reasons JJ went
JJ
there.
JJ went there, yeah. Cincinnati.
It feels like 2 years ago that JJ left for Arizona. But it
feels like a while.
It's only been one offseason.
It feels like a while. Cincinnati in week four. He gets Tennessee in week five, you know, Vrabel. Miami in week six, Brian Flores. Then he gets the bye week. Then it's Pete Carroll after that. And then it's Sean McDermott after that. And then it's Matt Eberflus after that. And then it's D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco after that. You know, like this Urban Meyer thing is going to be very interesting to watch play out over the first two or three months of the year, man. It's going to be fascinating. So you would say Titans would be your pick of those three. Now you've got me rethinking. That's a good stat, Seth. I know that it's these numbers coming off
a
loss.
Gambler. Yeah, but you know, that's also... That's not involving the spread or anything. That's if they've come off of a loss of 10 or more points, it's not like they cover the next week. They win the next week.
You're telling me to take the money line. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so the Titans are -5.5, or excuse me, the Seahawks are -5.5 in this game. So, yeah, regardless of actual gambling, they come back strong after an embarrassing loss.
They bounce back. And that, you know what? That seems to fit the mold with the tight, like Mike Vrabel feels like a coach who is going to hold his team accountable the following week and get the best out of them the following week after a really bad loss like they had in week one.
Carson Wentz is not going to do well in this game versus the Rams. He just isn't. And you got to wonder what are they going to start thinking? At some point, the Colts have to make a business decision and say, all right, well, Carson Wentz isn't doing that hot. And if he plays, what is it? Is it 70% of the snaps?
Yes.
If he plays, I think, 70% of the snaps, then the Colts have to turn, they're trading a first rounder to the Eagles instead of a second rounder,
right,
or whatever the condition is.
Yep.
They might have to, if it gets really ugly over the first half of the season, they might have to make a decision. I don't know, maybe they try to trade for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, maybe.
Are people at a point yet where they're cool with trading Deshaun Watson to the Colts?
No, I'm not. I don't want him in the division. I don't. The only way I would have wanted him in the division was if they were trading to Jacksonville last year for Trevor Lawrence. And 1 week into Trevor Lawrence's career, I'm glad they didn't do that.
I would do, Sean? I would just go ahead and I would trade him to the Colts, but then just file a restraining order against him for the entire city of Houston. And say,
so
like,
he at least
because
can't play the road games.
I'd
here,
put a, I put a massage. I would put a massage therapy place right in the in the main concourse of the stadium, and file for a restraining order.
Text message: did you all hear about Hard Knocks doing an in-season show with the Colts? It starts in November. Yes. If you want to go to the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to the 7 o'clock hour, I think it was about 7:30, maybe.
Seth
gave his early review on how he thought that would go. 7:15.
We're pretty sure that Jim Irsay only agreed to do this because they promised to feature him playing with his band.
Yeah.
Probably at the beginning of each episode or something, maybe rewriting the theme. We thought it was a good opportunity for people to see the Colts players on their off days on Tuesdays going out into the community, you know, donating Thanksgiving turkeys, helping out at shelters,
right,
teaching college kids how to read,
right,
like all the stuff that happens in Indiana, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. Going to Indiana State University, Seth said, and teaching the freshman class how to read.
Mm-hmm. Teaching basic hygiene to Indianapolisans.
Right, right. That'll all be on Hard Knocks, yes. Starting in November. All right.
I'm more motivated than ever now to be sure the Colts are having a really bad season by the time Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Just so so they can just, you know, really do the whole HBO dramatic thing and talk about how miserable it is and how awful it is. And maybe get some of the players talking about, especially get some of the players from the South talking about what it's like to be living up north in the cold, miserable weather, and yet with nothing offsetting it. Like, at least you go to some places and they're, oh, we could go skiing? No, there ain't a mountain for like 4,000 miles from right here, okay, fellas? Yeah, there's nothing redeeming. Oh, okay, well, I don't know. What is there, some like pretty cool, you know, Midwestern-inspired cuisine? Well, they like to brag about their shrimp that they import from elsewhere. Yeah, that's there's nothing redeeming about it.
It's the sauce, really, that they like to brag about.
You know what they like to brag about?
Mm.
Hey, we have a tunnel system to keep you out of actual India. We don't want you to have to be exposed to actual Indianapolis, so we have a tunnel system. Don't worry about how much you're going to hate it here.
All right. Seth took a rewatch of the Browns and the Chiefs from this past Sunday. Getting to know your opponent, Seth's going to smarten you up on what you need to watch for as we roll towards the top of the hour. Get you ready for Sunday here on a Football Friday on Payne and Pendergast. Stay there.
They've got a defensive end there that's a pretty good player in this league. And they also have Clowney.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you, getting you ready. Sunday, the Browns and the Texans. I got to check and see, Seth, is the line up to 13 yet on the Texans and the Browns? The line is still holding steady at 12.5. Over-under is 48. I think if it's the kind of game the Texans want to play, and quite frankly, the kind of game the Browns want to play, then under 48 might be the play. I think both these teams are going to try to run the football, which means the game shortens a little bit and the clock runs. But you had a chance to rewatch Cleveland and the Kansas City Chiefs. Ben, why don't you hit it? Thank you. There we go. You had a chance to rewatch that game, and there's some things that you learned from that game that I think will be applicable and good for Texan fans to know going into the game on Sunday. Begin.
The first thing I would say is that I think the Texans have a chance to win this game, like any team ever has a chance to win on any given Sunday. I think one time I think the Dolphins were favored by like 17 against us in week two of the 2003 season.
Okay.
Or week one of the 2003, whenever it was. And we won that game. So it's always possible. Look that up for
me. I'm looking it up right now.
And,
yeah.
But if the Browns lose to the Texans, I would have no alternative other than to advise Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, that he should fire everybody, trade Baker Mayfield, set the stadium on fire, and sell the entire franchise. Maybe also with the condition that you banish the name Browns ever again, because this will be a really impressive win if the Texans pull this off.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, obviously, about just how extreme it should be if the Browns lose, but it'll be a really impressive win if the Texans pull this off, because every step along the way, if you look at defensive line, offensive line, defensive backfield, overall wide receiving depth, all that stuff, the Browns are the better football team. So, if the Texans play a cleaner game, if they can win the turnover battle, that's how they're going to have to win this game. But the one huge X factor that I just don't know about with the Texans yet is how good is their run defense. Because that, Sean, I think that's, as I'm watching Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt just absolutely do whatever the hell they want last week.
Six yards a carry.
As a group, or did Nick Chubb have 6 yards a carry?
As a team, they averaged 5.9 yards per carry.
They averaged 6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like Baker Mayfield's not running around there like Tyrod Taylor necessarily.
Right.
So we didn't really get to see a whole lot of the Texans' run defense last week because of the nature of the game. This is an area where, especially in the modern NFL, people don't care as much about the run, but you should care about the run against the Cleveland Browns because they are a Gary Kubiak-style offense. They want the run game and the pass game to complement each other. If you can stop them from running the ball effectively or at least just limit them, then all of a sudden you make it a lot tougher for Baker Mayfield. So, look, you can have a good run defense without having stud pass rushers, obviously. You can have a good run defense without having name brand players on your defense. So what I'm hoping to see out of the Texans, the nice pleasant surprise for us for this season would be, oh, wow, they actually made it difficult for Cleveland to run the ball. But that is by far the thing I'm worried about more than anything is just how good Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are as a 1-2 punch in this Kevin Stefanski offense. Also, by the way,
yep.
The Browns offensive line is very good as well. They've got three. I think they're really solid at center and the two tackle positions. They've got a first rounder at left tackle who I think might not play this week. I'm not sure exactly what the report is right now. Joel Bitonio at left guard is good. So they've got a very solid offensive line. That's the big test is can you stop or at least limit the run? Keep Nick Chubb to a pedestrian 4.1 yards per carry.
Okay, I'm looking at this game. It doesn't have the spread of the game, and covers.com doesn't go back as far as 2003.
Yeah.
But are you referring to the season opener in 2003, where you guys went into Miami and beat the Dolphins 21-20.
Yes.
Chris Brown with a field goal with 25 seconds to go in the game.
Woo! That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good. Yeah, that's. I mean, you guys had to.
That was really. We were vastly. I remember somebody told either Lopez or John McClain or whoever's doing the write up that an executive from the Texans told him before the game that he'd never gone into a game so convinced that he was going to lose, like that they just thought we had no chance at all. And you know what? You know, Vic Fangio ended up kind of getting run out of town here, basically, because we had so many injuries on defense. They had a really rough stretch for a couple years on defense and without a lot of help from the offense. So when Vic Fangio left Houston, a lot of people didn't think highly of Fangio. Then he went on to just absolutely clean up in San Francisco. Chicago, elsewhere, obviously. So I think that he had a really good game plan that week, and we beat up on Miami in Miami. So yeah, for the Texans to go in and beat the Browns, it's very doable. It's unlikely at this point.
Okay, this was Seth, you know, you send me into these wormholes with these box scores.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Why? I love doing this. Stacey Mack, 27 carries, 89 yards for Stacey Mack.
He was that's right.
He was like the Mark Ingram of that day. 27 carries for 89 yards. Yeah, man. Dominic Williams, 6 carries, 36 yards.
Give me the report. How'd I do?
You actually, according to the box score, were pretty damn active that day.
I had a good day.
Seven tackles. You had seven tackles that day.
I had a really good game. You know, well, Gary Walker was out, so I kind of I had some opportunities there where the way that that Vic would do his defense, he'd kind of create some opportunities for guys on the defensive line. When Gary was there, we would try to do it for Gary because he's the guy that deserved it. He's like the playmaker of it. But it was kind of cool. Like, so when Gary was out, it sucked in some respects because I got double teamed more often. But he also, I got to run some plays that Vic Fangio would create where I got to make a lot of plays. And then I tore my ACL in the first quarter of next week.
Oh,
that
dude.
Was it.
Oh,
that was pretty much the end of my career after that. But whatever, Sean. I always have. We'll always have Miami.
Well, it was a big win, no doubt. But you know, and I promise we'll move on from this game. You know who had a day that day? Marcus Coleman.
Marcus, oh yeah,
two picks and a forced fumble.
We played man all day long. Like those guys were singled up on their guys. Aaron Glenn and Marcus Coleman did a really good job. And I remember when we were flying home from Miami, looking at Marcus and Aaron always sat on at the back of the plane, the back row to the left, and they sat together. You'd usually, in those old charters, you'd have like you're sitting in coach, and the middle seat is open. You have one guy in the window, one guy on the aisle, and those two were just out cold, just exhausted. The whole flight, just out cold, passed out, exhausted, because it was hot that day.
Yeah.
And we basically put the game on those two. We were able to play aggressively all game long, because those guys had, like, we were in man coverage, zero safety help over the top half the day, and they played their asses off.
So what else?
Aaron Glenn, now the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
For the Detroit Lions, yep. So what else on Cleveland? What else do we need to know on Cleveland? We know that they're beasts in the backfield with Hunt and Chubb. What else do we need to know?
Okay, Jadeveon Clowney, some of you might remember that name. He was he played football here for a little while with the Texans.
I remember.
And he was a guy who would find himself in the backfield quite a bit. Really good versus the run. And actually a pretty good pass rusher, but he's kind of got this stiffness about him that keeps him from actually getting the quarterback on the ground. I think that Browns fans are going to be really happy with Clowney this year. because Myles Garrett is the guy, and Myles Garrett wasn't a number one overall pick for the Jadeveon Clowney wasn't a number one overall pick for the Browns, so they don't have any kind of emotional baggage with him. All they'll see this year is that Myles Garrett is wreaking havoc on the right side of the line, and Jadeveon Clowney is doing some pretty damn good stuff on the left side of the line. And maybe he doesn't have a whole lot of sacks and everything, but I don't think Browns fans will care. Texans fans should care, because these are the matchups to watch this week. Laremy Tunsil at left tackle versus Myles Garrett, and Marcus Cannon / Charlie Heck / maybe Jerron Christian at right tackle versus Jadeveon Clowney, Tack McKinley, maybe a few other guys here and there. But I think those are the two matchups that are winnable. Like, and because Laremy Tunsil one-on-one can be excellent, just awesome in pass protection. The big question mark is just, all right, how are his legs right now? Is he completely recovered from COVID? Does he have all his timing and his football strength and conditioning back? Those are the things we just don't know. You know, he was pretty open and frank about how big of an adjustment it was playing after being out with COVID for as much time as he was. That's the matchup. I think if the Texans win this game, that's going to be one of the key factors, that Laremy Tunsil plays a hell of a game at left tackle, and that Marcus Cannon and maybe Charlie Heck do a really good job versus Clowney.
They're going to need another big game, too, out of Brandon Cooks, I think. And that's where I'm a little concerned. Denzel Ward is a really, really good shutdown corner for the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. I think it's going to be tougher sledding moving the ball through the air. I mean, it was Jacksonville last week, so of course it's Cleveland now. It's going to be tougher sledding, but I just think not just tougher sledding because Cleveland is a better team, but I think the matchups, obviously, at all three levels of the defense. And especially if I know we touched on Farrell Brown a little bit earlier. He hasn't practiced this week. He's their best tight end. I mean, they're going to need their full complement of guys if they're going to try to compete in this game. But I'm concerned about the Cooks versus Ward matchup.
One advantage the Texans do have, Sean, mm-hmm. and I believe in this, because I saw it in the early days of the Texans franchise. I felt like one of the reasons we had success versus the Jaguars is that we had so many former Jaguars on the team.
Okay.
And we'd kind of, everybody kind of gets it. You kind of get a little extra oomph into everything when you're playing against your old team. I did not know this. I read this by Christy Reakin had an article, and she said that there are 8 former Browns on the Texans
right now. Did she name them?
She did not.
Okay.
I'm gonna take her to task for that the next time I see her.
Yes.
Because all I could think of off the top of my head is Tyrod Taylor, Christian Kirksey.
Yep.
There you go.
Farrell Brown. Farrell Brown.
Oh, that's right. Farrell Brown, yeah.
Eric Murray.
Ooh, that's right. Eric Murray. That's right. I remember that because I remember Landry called up Cleveland as soon as the Texans gave Eric Murray a big contract. And they're like, hey, what do you think of Eric Murray? And the people in Cleveland were like, who? Yeah.
Right.
But Eric Murray so far, Eric Murray is so far so good this year.
That's 4. I'm guessing one of those veteran linemen they signed somewhere along the way, like Justin McCray feels like he probably played for Cleveland at some point. Tavier Thomas played for Cleveland. So we got like 6 of them.
You're good at this. You're good at this game.
Yeah.
Did Andre Roberts ever play for Cleveland?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
I'll go look it up. He's old enough to have played for Cleveland at some point.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah. All right.
So that little bit of revenge factor, maybe that little grudge match with Tyrod Taylor himself, I guess would be the biggest one. This is Tyrod Taylor versus the guy who was drafted to replace Tyrod Taylor.
Yep.
That's a little inaccurate. I mean, like I think Tyrod Taylor was coming and brought in with the notion that there was going to be a Baker Mayfield eventually. So, but I think Tyrod probably feels like, all right, yeah, I'll prove to the people in Cleveland that I could have been the guy.
Yep. All right. Got to remind you guys to get signed up for the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pick'em Contest. I'm 1-0 this week. I picked the Redskins. The Washington football team, sorry, last night. But text PICKS to 20357. That's PICKS to 20357. Get signed up. You could win $1,000 each week. $10,000 is the grand prize. It's a lot of fun. All you got to do is pick winners. You don't have to pick against the spread or no daily fantasy lineups or anything like that. Really easy. You just roll right through. Winner, 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 winner. And you could win $1,000. Again, text PICKS to 20357. So what do you think happens on Sunday, Seth? Like, where are you at with this game? What do you think? Do they stand in toe-to-toe? Do they cover the number? Do they pull off the upset? What do you think happens?
I think that just by nature of the way the Texans play defense and given what the Browns like to do and want to do, I'm not worried that it's going to be a runaway bludgeoning, like a 20-point loss or anything. I think the Texans can keep this close. I can't. One of our texters said that, you know, the Texans were unlikely to beat the Jaguars too. That's false. That was the Texans were a 3-point underdog to the Jaguars, which is a coin flip of a game in some respects. And they were playing, I didn't pick the Texans to beat the Jaguars, but I said it every time I said it. I was like, they very easily can. It's a 3-point game in the NFL. That's what happens. This is a much taller task. The talent disparity between these two teams is really big. The biggest thing that I'm concerned about is defensive pass coverage over the middle of the field. Some of the soft spots in the coverage. I think that Baker Mayfield has evolved to being a smart and competent NFL quarterback, and I think he's going to take advantage of some of these soft spots in the defense, particularly with the Texans linebackers. So with tight ends, Jarvis Landry over the middle, a lot of these things are what you got to watch out for. But I'll say I think the Texans will cover but still lose by 9 or 10 points.
Yeah, that's what I have 27-17 as a final score, so I've got a cover and the under in this thing, only because stylistically I think the Texans are going to play a style of football this year that is probably not going to win a bunch of games, but I don't think it's going to get them thrashed in some of these games like this. I think they'll run the football better than they did last year. They're going to protect the football better than they did last year. Tyrod Taylor is among the more conservative quarterbacks when it comes to when it comes to risk taking and throws that are going to get you trounced in games like the one on Sunday. You know, risky throws that can get picked off. Tyrod Taylor protects the football pretty well. They're just not talented enough to win this game. But I do think, Seth, hey man, if they keep the game close. I mean, I hate to be talking about a team where we're talking about moral victories like this, but this is where we are.
Yeah.
This is the reality. If they keep the game close and the rest of the AFC goes out and does what the odds makers think they're going to do, I'm going to come in next week pretty juiced for a Thursday night game against Carolina.
Yeah, look, Cleveland's a good team. They played Kansas City last week and really had multiple opportunities to seal or win that game.
Should have won.
Except for they made some dumb error. I mean, their punter couldn't handle a good snap. He just bobbled the snap. They did some dumb things. Baker Mayfield threw an interception that I don't think was a bad interception. I think he was trying to throw a ball to the sideline that was very safe, and either the receiver would catch it or it would go out of bounds. But he got grabbed by the foot right at the last moment, and it messed it up. But they were leading the Chiefs and had a really good chance to win that game. And it wasn't like a flukishly bad game, and Mahomes wasn't banged up or anything like that. This is a good football team. So I am excited about it because it's like any Sunday in the NFL. There's a chance the Texans could win.
Opportunity.
Which would be a notch in David Culley's belt.
Boy. Would it ever?
Is there a way to say that where it doesn't sound kind of dirty somehow?
No. Yeah. I think you're good. David Culley, happy birthday, by the way. Turned 66 today. All right, Seth, we're done. I'll see you 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Oh, antibodies and river otters to you.
There you go. River otters. Yeah, get the Odyssey app and rewind. You can see what we're talking about there. We're done. We'll see you 9 o'clock Sunday morning for Texans Countdown. In the Loop is up next. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I feel like that might be Mike Zimmer. He might be Raquel Welch.
Mike Zimmer's Raquel Welch.
Yes. Just as nasty, just as devastatingly beautiful.
If you have a question, just ask it. You don't have to give me your opinion.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.